I'm sure you have that experience as well. sometimes, maybe it could be during the pandemic, our entire street, the power was out. And the male side of me came out, and I should do something about this. So checking out the streets and other houses, lights out, and then I just double-checked the power is out, and then I even used the app to find out, you know, it's going to be a while. And I was looking for flashlights. We had several of them. And then there's one that I really liked. The one was long one, and it has a really strong light. And I couldn't find it. And then one by one, the other flashlights, it didn't work. The battery died. And I finally found that long flashlight, and excited. Because I remember that, you know, when I turned it on, you could see this several, you know, yards away. And you could zoom it and you could make it wide. Well, this thing was really, really weak. The battery is dying or something. But it was just barely, you couldn't even use it to brighten the room. One of the things that Jesus said, that you are the light of the world. And also salt of the earth. But today, the title of today's message is, sermon is, Shine as Lights in the World. Directly from today's sermon text, Philippians 2. 14 and 15. So let's read that text one more time, just to get the context of it, and I'll explain the overview of it. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 18. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is God's word. Last week, we talked about the importance of reading passages in context. So today's overview, I think we want to be mindful about the context. This passage is not out of the blue, you know, it stands all by itself, but it is in the context of general exhortation. Last Sunday's passage, verses 12 through 13, work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you. And now, from the general exhortation, Paul is zooming in, specific application for the Philippian church. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, shine lights as lights in the world. These were very obedient people. In a way, the model church that chapter 4, verse 1, Paul calls my beloved, my joy and crown. He mentions that. But still, there's something that he wanted to, as an apostle, as a shepherd, wanted to address down. Because it's a church disunity, disharmony. The people were not shaped by love, but there was a disputing and grumbling that was going on. So he's going to address that, but the positively, if you stop doing that, you will not shine as lights in the world. What will be the outcome? The future outcome will be so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So he called them my joy and crown at the judgment seat when Jesus Christ becoming our judge of all, not only unbelievers, but all the believers in Christ will gather. And then he has nothing to boast in the Lord. That they are not really joy and crown any longer if they continue to go that route. But interestingly, there is a present outcome. He mentions about his uncertainty about his life. And he's still going through Roman court and trial. And he mentions that even if, in other words, it didn't happen yet, but 2 Timothy 4, he says, I am being poured out. So that's a few years later. But for now, is that even if I'm poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial sacrifice of your faith, in other words, main sacrifice is the Philippian Christians and discipleship. But I'm poured out for your faith. In other words, I give my life sacrificially as a drink offering, I am glad. And he means it. And you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So that's the overview. So keep that in mind. And then we want to jump into each part more closely. And first of all, there are three things. Overcoming hindrances. And how to continually shine as lights, and then future and the present outcome. Let's think about it that way. The first of all, overcoming hindrances. Don't dim the light in you by grumbling or disputing. As I mentioned about my favorite flashlight, the light was dimmed. You couldn't do anything with that. What are the hindrances? Grumbling and distributing. If you do that, you won't be blameless, innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of crooked, twisted generation, among whom your calling is to be the light. The whole passage kind of reflects how much of Paul the Apostle has been immersed in Scripture. Just remember this, back then, there was no New Testament collection. His letters was considered, and Peter's letter and the four Gospels letter as an authoritative word. The Church of Christ had received that. But whenever they mentioned about Scripture, they're talking about Old Testament. This whole thing is an allusion to the Exodus incidents of Israelites. The 40 years of wandering because of their grumbling. It could have taken only 4 days trip, but 40 years in terms of distance wise. I'm, you know, going to Canaan, the promised land. Let's think about why. Why do we need to overcome the hindrance? Why stop grumbling and do all things without grumbling and disputing in order to shine as lights in the world? In other words, this is gospel living. Living worthy of the gospel. Remember chapter 1, verse 27? Continuation of that theme is going on. In the shorter context, it will be working out your salvation. Continue to obey as Christ has stepped down, seven downward to obey. And God exalted him. Where? In the midst of crooked and twist generation. Jesus mentioned this phrase when he was talking about the world. So in other words, John 17 comes to our mind, isn't it? When Jesus prayed, there are in the world, referring to his disciples, including us followers, but not of the world. They don't belong to the world, worldly system, worldly culture, worldly values. But I am not asking them, take them out of the world. The church is not in the up in the mountain like a temple. The church is in the middle of the cities. As you have sent me into the world, Father, I am sending them into the world. So where should we shine? In the middle of decaying world, deeming world. Negatively, it means do all things without grumbling or disputing. Just notice this. The negatively means don't do this. Why? Because it's really the holy and justice God calls us the holy living. But oftentimes we could think about only morality, right? Sexual immorality, cheating, all kinds of lies, and evading tax. And the church going off in the name of our God, looking for other ways rather than city ordinances and whatnot. And the excuse and, you know, those things could happen. Or it could even power abuse. So any kind of immorality. Like a televangelist, well, the money laundering can go on. But would you notice this? This is not that kind of sin. This is social ethics. Anything that is happening not by shaped by law, Paul the Apostle saying is, that's deeming the light. Your calling. But this is very difficult thing for us to really even accept and embrace. Because you lose the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, glory of gospel of Christ, and that the light of the gospel is dimmed when you do not live harmonious life with one another. When there is grumbling and disputing, questioning, fighting, arguing. Positively, he mentions, be blameless and innocent child of God without blemish. And then because of not only our conscience becomes clear, but when people are looking for blames, they can't find it. That church don't have much of anything, but we're looking for ways to find it, find the blame, and find some blemish, but it's not there. So it is actually calling as children of God. I mentioned that this is the whole thing is an allusion to Exodus. So let's look at Exodus 16, verse 1 through 3. By the way, there are several passages in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the grumble against God. This was a recurring sin of Israelites. They grumble when there is no water. They grumble when there is only one kind of food, manna. They grumble of God not having meat. They grumble about being tired and all those things. But this is the first, the whole congregation grumbling. Verse 1, they set out from Elim. And all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Deuteronomy 32 verse 5, it says, they have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children, God's children, because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. These are the languages that Paul is picked up and using. You are the people of God who are in Christ Jesus. Do not become like Israelites in the wilderness. Seeing that. And he even mentions in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9 through 12, we must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did not. Some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer, by the destroyer, the angel of death. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. The commentators say there's nothing in Philippian church that grumbling against the Lord, against God, and even against Paul. When I realized, I looked through it, it is true. The Philippians were grumbling, complaining against each other. And this needs to be corrected. Paul's loving, but in a straightforward admonition. So Sawyer was at the retreat, youth retreat, this year. This year, not as a student, but as youth student, but as a volunteer camp counselor. And he was grinning when he came home. So I remember him going to the bathroom. I stand next to him. So it was good? Yeah, it was really good. So tell me best thing about what, you know, this year's retreat. I don't want to steal the thunder of the youth students who are here. Maybe you want to share the Crossway story or whatnot. But from what I understood, what Sawyer's saying was that there is a playful fighting, verbal, like trash talk, as they're doing that. And then one of the younger kids start crying, and then everybody got upset and start crying. And this is 2 hours. Everything happened in 2 hours when Pastor Einstein was with the worship band, the guest worship band, practicing worship, and then everything was falling apart. And he came, and he basically said, let's pray. You guys just pray. And then as they're praying, the students are crying, repenting, hugging each other, and it became a revival. The conflict was resolved, and they're embracing each other. Be really thankful. And then I said, oh, what happened to skits? You guys had to cancel the skits. No, we did the skits. Skits were really good too. I'm looking for, you know, Sawyer said that Katrina recorded some things in the video, so it might be good. But brothers and sisters, our young people are leading our church in such a way that God's Spirit and merciful Spirit was upon their pure heart and blameless heart. And any kind of disputing, any kind of grumbling stopped. And may God be honored among us, because our young people are used by God to lead us. Those are the very things that we as adults need to follow, aren't we? Let's not dim the light. As a pastor, I want to be very clear. You should and may speak truth in love. That's different. But grumbling against a person and grumbling against another group, oh, come on, it's so easy to do. Anybody else, any of us could do it. But God is bringing this passage and said, be serious about the seemingly the light things, like things that we could dismiss as not as a really sin, serious sin, which dim the light of our lamp. Overcoming hindrance is one thing, but how do you keep shine as lights? And once again, work out your salvation is only possible because it is God who works in us, not with us. In us, meaning that our will and our desire and our obedience, transformation comes from God's work. So we should think about the fueling to shine as light is actually coming from this passage. Keep fueling your light to to shine by holding fast to the Word of God. The holding fast to the Word of God is actually key to keep shining. Holding fast to the Word of life. The reason why Paul puts it this way, Word of life, is probably means the Jesus words. Because once again, there is no collective New Testament, right? So he didn't say, hold fast to Scripture, but hold fast to the Word of life. Which means not only the Jesus teaching and words, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to us, we could very simply receive it as a scripture. Hold fast to the Word of God. But it is not the same as mere Bible intake. And you heard me emphasizing, and then some of you might be tired hearing the same thing. Oh, there we go again. Paul is beating the importance of Bible and quiet time and daily meditation. No, I'm not this time. Because if we misunderstand holding fast to the Word of God as a Bible intake, we could look at Pharisees who were more serious than any of us in terms of Bible intake. And they were full of memories, memorizing and scripture and fasting and become an expert in the scripture. They could quote the passage by memory, but their heart was dimmed. Why? Unless God, living God, quickens our spirit. Now, simply put, makes our heart responsive, tender to the Word of God. There is no life-giving impact on us. We become heady person. We become really prideful person of all the things we know. So let's be very, very careful. Oh, Bible intake is necessary. But defining it this way, hence holding fast to the Word involves three things. Number one, we relentlessly cling to the Word. Go to the Word, read it, spend time with it, and a lot of times there might be distractions. So we need to go to the Word. Instead of Netflix, we need to go to the Word. Instead of just doing nothing, go to the Word. And number two, we need to prayerfully rely on the living God to open our eyes to see. Psalm 119, open my eyes to see the wondrous things, to behold the wondrous things out of your law. The psalmist is saying. And there is a difference. If you are a Christ follower, you have experienced the Spirit's work. As you're reading and meditating, the Spirit does work. And then your circumstance hasn't changed, then all of a sudden there is assurance, there is peace, there is a vitality. And the problem is oftentimes we are too impatient, right? So we're reading one chapter, I can't even understand this. So reading is too hard, and I'm just going to listen to somebody explain. And then wanders around, nothing sticks. But that humbly waiting on the Spirit of God, show me, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see in your spirit, your heart. Young people, listen to me. God can speak to you that way. Your heart will become alive. And all of us who stay on the past grace, you know, 10 years ago, or my, you know, during my single days, that Bible study and that quiet time has been really good. No, today, we need to become childlike. We need to become pure in our heart. And lastly, the sign of God's work is that we humbly submit to obey what it says. Scripture says something. Instead of analyzing, instead of thinking and kicking the ball and let's discuss about it, we need to do it. Forgive those who have offended you. How many times, Lord? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. And instead of trying to figure out what the meaning of it is simple enough if we receive. Submit to obey is looking like this. Is there anyone I would still hold grudges against? If that is the case, I need to completely forgive and let go in the bitterness. If it comes back, I need to forgive again. Did I gossip? Yes. I need to ask for forgiveness. Stop gossiping. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. That's what it looks like, holding fast. And it becomes a fuel. Our lamp is lit by that fuel. The only way to shine as lights in the world is to keep fueling our lamp by holding fast to the word. And this is the same as the human responsibility and God's sovereignty we talked about. We meditated on last week. Work out your salvation. It is our responsibility. Don't act like God's going to do something that make you. So we need to continue to obey. We need to repent when God convicts us. But if this is our self-effort, we become prideful. Remember, there is no room for pride or boasting, as well as no room for excuse. God didn't help me. Couldn't do that. Why? Because for it is God who works in you. God works in us ceaselessly. He doesn't stop. God works within us purposely, according to His pleasure. There is other versions of the scripture. And other commentators interprets or renders this verse as a hold forth. In other words, sharing the gospel. That's a giving light. Well, that may be true. Why? Because the root word in Greek text, epikō, has both meanings. Holding on, holding tight, holding fast, and holding forth meaning holding offer. So there could be two different meanings, but we don't have to choose one or the other. But it begins with always holding fast, unless we become the light and signs, and by fueled, we will not be able to shine to others, to offer others, isn't it? Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. This is not Paul's idea, and Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In 2 Peter, Peter the Apostle says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed." He mentioned about Mount Transfiguration, seeing the glory of Lord Jesus' face shining, right? "And to which you will do well to pay attention as to lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Both phrases, day dawns and the morning stars, is a coming of the returning of the Christ, second coming of Christ. Until then, pay attention so that your lamp shining in a dark place. Same thing Apostle Paul is talking about. And I want to conclude with this encouragement for what Paul is doing. The outcome of holding fast to the word, or in another way of putting it, outcome of keep shining, it renders us a solid joy for today as well as for the day of Christ. Day of Christ, when Jesus returns, when Jesus becomes the judge of all, the white throne of Christ Jesus, He will, as the Lord of universe, as the Yahweh Lord, holding fast to the word of God, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud. I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Isn't Paul promoting himself? No. What Paul is saying, actually, whenever he said, "Whoever boasts and boasts in the name of the Lord, in Lord," in other words, boast God's work in you and through you. "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith." This is not a figurative language only. He means, even if I am to be executed, may that be drink offering. The Jewish people in this context, and then the Philippian Gentile Christians in the Greco-Roman world, both understood drink offering very, very well. There is a main offering, and at the end, the drink offering is pour on that wine, usually. And then Greco-Roman pagan worship had the same thing. And he goes, "I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Future outcome, the day of the Lord. He will have a joy. Present outcome, he's so willing to be poured out. So his life, he's glad and he invites him to rejoice with him. The point that we need to draw from this principle is that what matters most in eternal perspective impacts our everyday life with a solid reason to rejoice in the Lord as well. I don't know what you are going through. Maybe very anxious everyday life, or some financial difficulties, or some difficult things in your life. But in this eternal perspective, you and I have a solid reason to rejoice. Because we know the outcome, future outcome. That eternal outcome will never be changed. He who works in you, begin a good work in you, will come bring it to a completion on that day. So what is God doing? Even though I don't feel good about some things, I can rejoice. I close with John Piper's quote on this, and this was a good reminder for me. But as we're reading this, remember that he's not John Piper also, like I shared, is not just a mere Bible intake. Piper writes, "The way you shine as lights in the dark culture is by holding fast to the Word. Hold your gaze on it. Hold your position in it. Stay with it." Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. We are going nowhere away from your word. We're staying with you and your words. We're holding you our position here. We're holding our attention on your word. This is life. Life and power and health and fruitfulness are mediated from God through his word. This is the way he has decided to do it. If we stay away from the word, the light will grow dim. The word is the fuel of our lamps. You shine holding fast the word. You shine holding fast the word. The word is the fuel of your lamp. Don't starve the wick of your lamp by not soaking it in the kerosene of the word. Keep your wick in the word. Hold it fast. Give it yourself to it. Hold it in your mind and in your heart." May the Spirit speak to our hearts and convince us that our impotence, the weakness, spiritual weakness and dryness can be cured. Not by wish-washing, not by just listening to inspirational talks and messages, by holding fast, that we will experience fuel of God lighting our wick of our lamp. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this passage. And thank you for the pain that you have caused in my life because of this hard to receive. But it's such a good medicine for us. Help us not to look around looking for other source of spiritual vitality, newness of life, but to your word of life. Help us to hold fast. Enable us by your work in us. Revive each one of us and our church in the mighty name of our living God. This we pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.